Okay, verse 16 through 22, Paul's meeting with the Jews. Now, verse 16 really is not so much a part of it. It's kind of a transition verse, but we're going to look at it. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Now, it says they came to Rome. Now, God had promised him that in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11. And you'll remember he was in Jerusalem when God promised him that. He was arrested there. He had assassins. I can't remember the number of the assassins, but it was more than 30, if I remember right, around 40 assassins had took an oath, and they were wanting to kill him. So during that time frame, God appears in a vision to him and says, Paul, told him to fear not. Now, if he told him to fear not, that's probably a good occasion. Probably was afraid. But he gave him some encouragement. He said, if you bore witness of me in the past, you're going to bear witness of me where at in Rome. So he gave him this promise to be an encouragement to him. Now, if the Lord told me I was going to be in Rome, guess what I would have expected? I would have expected in the next month or two or 3 months, I'd be heading to Rome. But he would go from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And in Caesarea, he would be kept there for 2 years. So it wasn't an immediate thing. And before he would get to Rome, he'd go through a lot. I wrote some of the things that he went through. He went through a hurricane. He went through a shipwreck. He went through a snake bite. But eventually, he ended up in Rome. When God makes you a promise, he always keeps it. Now, I might have thought I'd have got there a lot quicker, wouldn't you? But I guarantee you that whenever he would face a hardship like the hurricane and like the other things that he faced, I can guarantee you in the back of his mind, he's thought, but God has promised me that I'm going to Rome. I'm not going to die here in Caesarea. I'm not going to die here in Jerusalem. God has promised me I'm going to Rome. And don't you think he could have drawn some strength from that promise? Well, I want you to know something. God's given us some promises to strengthen us while we're here. He doesn't promise we won't go through storms, does he? Now, I hear some people preach that, but I'm going to be honest with you. That's not true. One time or the other in life, we're either going into a storm or we're coming out of one. Pretty much that's the way that it is. God doesn't promise us that we won't have any storms here. But God has given us some promises that will strengthen us in the storms. Do I face storms? Bunches. Do you? Absolutely. Did Jesus say you would? Let me ask you, did Jesus say you would? Yeah, he said in John 16, I think it's verse 33, he's talking to his disciples, he said, in this world, ye will have tribulations. And tribulations takes many different forms, do they not? I mean, many of you right now is going through some tremendous tribulations. Some of you are getting ready to go into a tribulation. I don't know what it is. But we do face those things in this life. But for those tribulations, God has given us some promises to carry us. And some promises to help us. I will give you four of them. Are you ready? This is a sermon, but I'm just going to give them to you real fast. Here's some promises that whenever I face a tribulation or a storm, these are the promises that I claim. And these are the promises that I put my trust in. See? Eventually, I'm going to end up like we talked about last week. Eventually, I'm going to be on the heavenly shore, you know, like we talked about in the shipwreck. Eventually, I'm going to be there. It's just a matter of time before I'm there. But while I'm here, I'm going to face some times of tribulation. But I got some promises, like Paul had a promise that he's going to run. We got great promises, too, to help us when we face the storms of life. These are the promises that we can do what with them? Trust them. Remind ourselves of them. See, the problem is we have promises to help us, but the problem with it is we don't trust them. And we oftentimes we don't apply them. And sometimes you can even mention to somebody, you can mention a promise to them, they say, oh, I know that. Well, it didn't do me good, does it? Because they don't draw strength from it. You can draw strength from the promises. You can draw strength from the promises. Let me give you four real fast. Number one, we have the these walls start with a P. Number one, you have the promise of His presence. Of course, we talked about that one a couple weeks ago, but I need to mention it again. The promise of His presence. Hebrews 13:5 says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. That promise is given throughout the Scriptures. It was given to Moses. It was given to Joshua. It was given to Isaiah. It's given different places. Whenever the Lord wanted to comfort, a fearful child, He reminded them that I'm with you. I'm with you. Now that's a mighty, powerful promise. I don't know what I'm going to face from here on out. Do you? I mean, I've looked back over the past years, past 4 or 5 years, and I'd have never dreamed different things that a man have to face. And I'm sure you're the same way. But in those times, you have promises, and this promise has always been a promise that I draw strength from, and that is that the Lord is with me. And I've always believed that you plus the Lord is always a majority. You plus the Lord is always a majority. So that means you don't face anything by yourself. And the very thought that God is with me strengthens my spirit and gives me a lot of strength. Number two, you have the promise of provisions. Not only do you have the promise of His presence being with you, now will He ever not be with you? No, He'll never leave you. Never. Never leave you. Never forsake you. You say, well, I feel the Lord with me. Whether you feel Him or not, He's with you. Him being with you is not based on your feelings. See what I'm trying to say? Or sometimes I don't feel like He's with me, but that's not true. He's promised to never leave and forsake me. See? Draw strength in that. He's also have the promise of provisions. He'll also provide for you. Now let's go to the book of Philippians. The rest of these is there. Got to be careful not to preach that. It's a good little outline. All right. The promise of His presence. Now, number two, the promise of His provisions. Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 19. These are things we already know. But these are great and precious promises that carry us while we're here. You ever worry about your provisions? You ever lose a job? I've lost one like 3 different times, and I think y'all's getting ready to fire me. That'd be my 5th. But anyhow, I've lost a Bertha Corner. You ever lose a job? And it's difficult. If you've been at a job a long time and then that job's gone, that can be a frightening thing. Because, I mean, you're used to gathering getting your money to come from that job, and then it's gone. It can be a heart-wrenching thing. Well, jobs come and go. But guess what? Your provider never changes. I got the same provider today that I've had all my life. From here on out, I still got the same provider. He's provided for me all the days of my life, and He'll also provide for you. Might come to pass that your brook dries up, but the Lord's got another means of taking care of you. He will take care of His people. You have a provider. I don't know why God's people worry about such things so much. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need. My God shall supply all your need. Now, it doesn't say your greed, does it? It says your need. Make sure you have what you need. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Glory is pretty rich, is it not? Streets is made out of gold. Think about it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God's wealth cannot be measured. And that's the one that provides for you and takes care of you. So we have the promise of His presence. We got the promise of His provisions. We also got the promise of... Now, I'm going to read verse 11, and I'm going to ask you a question at the end of it. Verse 11 said, now, not that I speak in respect of want, but I've learned. It's not something that comes naturally. This is something that you learn. something that the Lord teaches you to do. I've learned in what, now watch what it says, whatsoever state that I'm in, therewith to be content. Now, folks, if you really think about what he just said there, that's a big thing. He said, I've learned in whatever state that I'm in to be content. Now, when he's writing Philippians, he was a prisoner. He wrote the book of Philippians from Rome. And he was in chains. He said, I've learned whether I'm driving on a ship, whether I'm walking along, going to another city to preach, or whether I'm here in Rome as a prison, this must be where God wants me or I wouldn't be in this situation. So he just trusted that he was where the Lord wanted him at. He said, I'm content in my state. I'm content with my state. And the problem is we think, now, if the Lord used to change my state, I'll be happy. But what this is saying is you've got to find that where you're at. This where the Lord wants me. If it's what the Lord desires, then I'm content to stay here till the Lord moves me. See what I mean? Contentment's a big sermon. I'll preach on that by itself some other. Contentment. Very few contented people. When we're talking about contentment, we're just not talking about possessions, are we? It's a state. The state you're in. You change my state, then I'll be content. I don't like this state that I'm in here. You change my state, I'll be content. But until you change it, I'm going to quarrel at you. See what I mean? That's how we do. We'll be angry at him or whatever. You got to be content with your state. How in the world can someone be content with their state? Well, the key to that's in verse 13. Because what happens is we read verse 11 by itself. But verse 11 goes with 12 and 13. How can you be content with your state? Notice what it says. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Sometimes Paul had plenty, sometimes he had needs. Whether he had needs or whether he had plenty or whether he had little, whether he was in a prison or whether he was on a ship, whether he's in Rome or whether he's in Jerusalem, whether he's in a Philippian prison, whatever state I'm in, I'm content. How could he say that? That's strength right there. Do y'all think? That's strength right there. Whether I got a job or don't have a job, I'm content. How could he do that? The key to that is verse 13. Everybody look at it. We know verse 13. Because I can do all things. I can't do this. You probably can. But I can do all things through Christ that does what? Christ that strengthens me. So I don't know if you're anything. I've done it before. Lord, I can't take this anymore. Have you ever done it? I can't handle this anymore. Have you ever done it? I'm just wondering, have you? God says, I can. Here's what Paul said. Here's the promise. I can. I can't in and of myself, but I can through how? Christ which strengthens me. That's a great promise. Big gals went through a lot. How many years, brother, have you been? Fourth year. Four years with cancer. And the Lord has given him an overabounding dose of strength, has he not? And it's just been amazing. He's joy to talk to on the phone. And the Lord's blessed him even here recently. I mean, look at him. He's put on 20 pounds and tanned and been fishing. The Lord's been good to him. But he's not no different tonight than he was when he was going through his therapy. Same attitude, same deal. How's he able to do that? Somebody tell me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's a great promise, isn't it? So when the devil whispers you can't, you say, oh yes, I can. Not on myself, not on my own, but the Lord can help me. We got the promise of his presence, the promise of his provisions. We got the promise of his power. That helps us, doesn't it? That helps us while we're here. We're not going to be here real long, no matter how you slice it. But while we're here, these promises is what we draw strength from. Paul drew strength from the promise that he's going to run. You're going. Might not be in 6 months. It's going to be in over 2 years. You're going to go through a shipwreck, snake bite, and everything to get there. But you're going to get there because God promised it. God's always going to keep His promises. Never broke one. Never will. Last promise, He had the promise of His peace. Do you ever lose your peace of mind? Sure you do. Verse 6 and 7 is an easily read text, but it's a very difficult text to practice. But you don't get the peace unless you practice it. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. What's that mean? The word be careful for nothing. It's used in, that's a really, really good interpretation, Mama. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing means don't be anxious. We get the word anxiety from that, don't we? Don't be anxious. Worry is a form of fear. It's the fear of what might happen. So he says, don't be that way. Now remember where he's at when he's writing. He's in prison. He's got a chain on. He's not on a beach somewhere, in a resort somewhere. He's in Rome. He's in prison. He's going to go before a hearing, and eventually, they're going to take his head off. So, you're talking to somebody that's in a rough spot. So he says, don't be careful for nothing, but in everything but prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Aren't you glad you can pray? Isn't that a great outlet? Aren't you glad you can go to the Lord? Aren't you glad you can give Him your cares? Now, you can carry your cares if you want, but those cares will bury you. They'll suck all your joy out. Over time, that'll make you sick. Or you can give your burdens to the Lord. Look, the Psalm says, cast your burdens upon the Lord and He'll sustain you. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything but prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace, well, here's verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and what else? Your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Peace of knowing He's got it. You know how you really know when you've let go of something is when you have the peace, you know God's got it. And either way, he's either going to take it away or he's going to give grace to bear it, one or the other. And he gives you peace. Those are four great promises. You not agree? Those are great promises. Promise of His presence, provisions, power, and the promise of His peace.